to love someone. I swear I heard you thank your God that time for having me come along. Another intimacy reduced to cruelty, and I had you believe that this was meant to be. And I know for the magic, but you got away with it. That's
okay. That was Beth Orton with Worms, an animal tune to ease us into today's edition of Talking Animals. Things are a little chaotic here, but only in the best way possible. So I'm starting my little recorder. What did we say his name is?
Jasmine.
Jasmine, yeah. Jasmine. There's a kitten here that we'll meet officially later, but anyway, he's doing some interesting things here on the studio, which is great, as it should be. It's Talking Animals. Okay, so anyways, my name is Duncan Strauss. We're here with our program that's devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guests, Sherry Silk and Kathy Belliton, the executive director and director of special events, respectively, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. We'll find out about various programs and events, other things going on at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, and, of course, very much including Bark in the Park this Saturday, Al Lopez Park. So when we speak with Sherry and Kathy in just a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, of course, we'll welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner, play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a pair of tickets to the greatest acoustic blues show on earth this Saturday at the Palladium Theater. And we'll have a brief chat with Suzanne Liggett, who will be providing free yoga classes for kids at the Talking Animals Festival. Right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment. A look at items of interest in animal news locally, regionally, nationally, sometimes internationally, as well as announcements of local events. So let's turn out interesting and or notable developments in animal news. We also welcome your comments, which you can share on the... Wow, is that the first time a kitten has gone across... I'm getting notes here already. What's happening? Did something happen? Okay. Hold on. It's all good. Everything's good. All right. All right, well, I don't know what happened to our email thing, but anyway. Okay, it's produced by the Talking Animals Award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item comes from the Orlando Sentinel. SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment is preparing to put trainers back in the water with its killer whales for the first time since the trainer was battered and drowned by the company's largest orca 1 year ago Thursday. SeaWorld told the Orlando Sentinel last Wednesday that trainers in its three U.S. marine parks will begin limited water work, quote-unquote, with whales within the next few months, with the interactions initially restricted to small medical pools equipped with false bottom floors that can be lifted out of the water. The company said it will also spend tens of millions of dollars in coming months on safety upgrades at its killer whale facilities in Orlando, San Diego, and San Antonio, from custom-designed fast-rising pool floors in its larger show venues to underwater vehicles that could be used to distract an out-of-control killer whale with pulsing lights and whale vocalizations. It goes on, but I guess this is perhaps all too predictable, almost to the exact month or thereabouts, that Jason Reibel, our guest on the January 5th edition of Talking Animals, sort of predicted what would happen at SeaWorld. So, anyways, just tracking that, folks. Now, I was out in California for a crazy whirlwind trip this weekend and noticed in the local paper there that in Irvine, California, which on the one hand has kind of one of the rising universities there, University of California, Irvine, but also the place where many places have to keep your house various shades of beige. So I was all the more interested to note that the city council is considering legislation that would ban cat and dog sales at retail shops in Irvine, making neutering and spaying of cats and dogs mandatory and bar traveling animal entertainment acts such as circuses, petting zoos, and rodeos from coming to town. Legislation to protect companion animals is being drafted, and a council majority voted last week for formal plans for implementing the set of three animal welfare ordinances to be drawn up and presented in 120 days. And after a lengthy discussion during Tuesday's council session between city staff, public speakers from the community, and local activist groups, the council voted 4-1 to send the proposals back to city staff for further review. Quote, in general, Irvine has shown great interest in animal welfare, Mayor Suki King said at the meeting. The ordinance proposed would position Irvine with other progressive cities implementing ordinances to prevent instruments and exploitations of animals within their respective city boundary, he said. Only one pet shop in town, Russo Spectrum Pets in the Irvine Spectrum, still sells cats and dogs in the area. So, interesting. We'll watch that one carefully from across the country. And something else coming up locally here. March 5th, this Saturday, Musicians for the Paws, P-A-W-S, Brewers for the Cause, a benefit for Dunedin Doggy Rescue at Pinehurst Pub in Dunedin from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Performances include those by Sunset Bridge Band, Rebecca Pulley, Scotty Lee Rexroth, Jane Kelly, and Radio Free Carmella. So more information at DunedinDogs.com. This thing seemed to float around the Facebook in the last few days. Some questions about it, but took this from the Lifefoot Dogs website. Dolphins are being credited with helping to rescue a dog that became trapped in a canal on Marco Island. Island resident Cindy Burnett said her 11-year-old Doberman Turbo disappeared Sunday night after his gate was accidentally left open. She and her sons went looking for him. I searched and searched and called his name, Burnett said. I drove through the street at least five or six times. Meanwhile, a group of dolphins had noticed the stranded dog and literally kept splashing around for an estimated 15 hours, making such a commotion that neighbors were alerted. When they went to get a closer look, they found Turbo treading frantically in canal water that he was unable to swim back out of. Burnett is incredibly thankful the dolphins splashed. If he had to tread water all night long, I know he wouldn't have been able to. And also coming up locally this weekend as well, our guest last week on the show, Dr. Mighty May, will be rolling into town to give a talk at Loving Hut. That's this Sunday, March 6th at 4:30 p.m. And that's under the auspices of Florida Voices for Animals. So you can go to floridavoicesforanimals.org to find out about that and some other upcoming events that we'll be telling about in coming shows here on Talking Animals. Also, taking kind of my suggestion, I guess, last week, Dr. May wrote me to say that she had posted her Florida appearances and others on her website, veganvet.net. So, lastly, about the Talking Animals Festival coming up. Again, it's April 3rd, Lowry Park from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we'll be trying to troll for ideas and how it's done at Bark in the Park this Saturday and try to raise our game here. But one offer, as I did last week, stealing an idea from Flea, that if you... you know, have a neighborhood dog park or a restaurant or some other business that you yourself would like to post, put up a Talking Animals poster or know someone who might, please give us a call or email us at dj@wmnf.org or alternatively at talkinganimals@wmnf.org. We'll be happy to send you a freshly printed full-color poster, or you can also download an 8.5x11 version from the Talking Animals Festival page. Just go to talkinganimals.net, find the festival page, and there's a little link where you can click on that and print that out. So just want to remind you, too, that we officially announced our lineup of a dozen bands playing animal songs at the Talking Animals Festival. So that includes Ronnie Elliott, the Sandy Atkinson Band, Bird Street Players, Sons of Hippies, Loris Vidal and Kelly McRae, Ray Zilla's PBS, Dog Peter Pat, Tribal Style, The Sun Society, Damon Fowler, The Dirty Spoons and Trash Review, and MAGA Dog. So, again, from Americana to ska, from funk to folk, and everything in between should be fun. Again, it's all free at the Talking Animals Festival, April 3rd at Lowry Park Band Show, right next door to the zoo. So I think that covers us, gets us pretty well caught up. Let's step now into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which... involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mitch Hedberg with a very short piece called Koalas on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
My apartment is infested with koala bears. It's the cutest infestation ever. Way better than cockroaches. When I turn on the light, a bunch of koala bears scatter. And I don't want them to, you know? I'm like, hey, hold on, fellas. Let me hold one of you. And feed you a leaf.
All right, so that was just a brief one today because, well, anyways, first of all, that was Mitch Hedberg, the late, great Mitch Hedberg, and taken with a piece called Koalas, taken from his CD, Strategic Grill Locations. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. All kinds of information there, links for our Facebook page, Twitter, etc., and, of course, updates on the Talking Animals Festival. So, now, it's about time, finally, to meet our guests, Sherry Silk and Kathy Belton. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Sherry is the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, while Kathy is Director there of Special Events, and we'll get to update on some of the latest from Humane Society of Tampa Bay headquarters, meet some adoptable pets who we've already had the pleasure of meeting, and very cute, and discuss Bark in the Park. They're a huge annual event taking place this Saturday at Al Lopez Park from 8:30 a.m. to noon. So, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf. Let's welcome Sherry Silk,
hey.
Kathy Belton to Talking Animals.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for coming in and bringing some nice critters. And I'm going to see if I can, as we're sort of talking, I'm going to see if I can reset because
some kitty walked across your keyboard or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, no, that which is great. I mean, that's part of the thing of having animals in the thing. But I don't know where we are on the order. But anyway, that's okay. So, all right. So Sherry, there's all kinds of things we want to talk about, as
great.
I mentioned. And I want to, of course, discuss events with you, Kathy, and Bark in the Park in particular. But first, I was thinking this morning, driving over here, that you and I talked, I think, almost 2.5 years ago in this very studio. So I thought, maybe we could start off by having you describe, how you assess things in that ensuing period in terms of changes or challenges on the that have sort of crept onto the landscape, both at the Humane Society of Tampa, specifically or more broadly in the animal rescue welfare world, because it seems like things have certainly changed in some notable ways.
I think in most ways, especially because I've been doing this for, almost 30 years now, and times are much, much better for animals. I mean, people are really, they get it, that they need to go to a shelter to adopt an animal or a rescue group rather than, buy it from a pet store or something like that. So I see a significant change because I'll tell you, Duncan, we have increased our adoptions every year. Last year we did better than the year before. I can't say enough about the public here in the Tampa Bay area. They support us and they come out and they adopt our animals. When we have puppies like this, they usually last less than 3 days on the floor, and that's really, really good.
Wow.
We're doing better than most shelters. I'm not sure why that is. I just think we have a great community that supports homeless animals.
And, I'd be curious because, in some ways I might have guessed slightly the other way just because I sort of felt like, and we touched on this, a little bit, I think, in our conversation a couple of years ago. But with the economic situation being what it is, it just seems like, people who have adopted animals are finding it sometimes difficult to pay the bills, pay their own bills, and therefore keep the animals fed and cared for. So
it is hard to put your finger on because our intakes are up because people are turning in more pets because of the economy. And I think we kicked off our free food program last time I was here. That was in 2008. So if there's any listeners that are having trouble, feeding their dog or cat, we don't want them to be turned into shelters. You can come to our shelter and we'll give you a free bag of dog or cat food. We've also, we just finished another free shot clinic for folks that just don't have enough money to get their animals vaccinated for rabies and for distemper. So we've put some programs in place to try to help keep pets in their homes because we don't want them to have to end up at animal services, frankly.
Right. So part of, I guess, the answer then is you guys are really helping them.
Yes.
Be able to adopt and, more to the point, maybe keep.
Yes, that's the goal.
In the home. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And on a, I guess, kind of related note, I'd be curious to know...
The beast in me.
Okay. Oh, boy.
No, that's okay. that's our cat. You know what I've already... Oh, is it Jasmine? Is that,
yeah, that's Jasmine, our okay. eight-week-old Siamese okay. that's no, terrorizing that's the studio.
I have to say, one thing about Jasmine, he loves the soundboard, so that's
yes,
great.
That's something okay. about you, I think, Doug, and he wants to be over there by you.
Well, I'd like him to go over by me, too, but okay. Well, he's running the show,
he
should be.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Look how good the puppies are being compared to Jasmine. They're just being mellow. Yeah. And Kathy's in mind.
He's back. Okay. So I guess what I was going to say is, on a related note, how would you find last year or two, let's say, donations and other kinds of support for Humane Society of Tampa Bay have been? Oh, sorry, Jasmine, turn off your mic.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit of a struggle. I mean, we're maintaining. The average donation is less than it was two mm-hmm. years ago because people, they still want to support us, but they don't have enough, you know, as much money.
Right.
So that has been a struggle. One thing we've done is we've also opened up an affordable wellness clinic for people where you can come and get affordable shots and other things for your pet. That is throwing off a little bit of income to help us weather this economic storm that we're experiencing. So we're maintaining. I wish it was a little bit better, but I mean, I'm thankful that we're getting the donations that we are, because I know it's a struggle for people.
It sounds like it's not that drastic, especially with putting some measures in place to help offset.
Right. And I can take this kitten and give her a timeout if we're
no,
about
no,
you want
no.
me to.
Okay. I mean, you know, I feel like I invited this. We've got two cute puppies we're going to meet later, and
right.
we've got Jasmine, and we talked about should they stay in their care. It's like, they've already had to ride over here, and if there's a show where animals should be running around and turning on
animals.
Records and stuff, right. So.
Right.
So, so again, as you mentioned, you've been in this, line of work for about 30 years
yes.
or so. I mean, are you seeing other things that are sort of either trends or new wrinkles just generally in rescue, animal welfare?
Well, there's two main issues for shelters across the country, because I go to a lot of national conferences and speak to other directors. It's way too many pit bulls in shelters. A lot of the times you'll go into a shelter and there'll be 70 or 80% of the animals that are in there, pits or pit mixes. And pits can make wonderful pets, but a lot of people, for whatever reason, maybe do not want to adopt animals, the pit bull, because of the bad rap that they've gotten. So that's been a challenge for shelters across the country, because shelters, frankly, are full of them. And then the other issue is cats. I mean, the puppies and the small dogs, we've got that covered. We can find a home for almost any puppy or small dog that comes into our shelter. But cats are hard because they're so plentiful. So that is a struggle, continues to be a struggle for a lot of shelters. Lots of the euthanasia in our county, still the highest number for cats, just because there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I see on the good side, because I'm an optimistic person, the TNR movement, I mean, that's really going strong. We did 5,000 spays and neuters of feral cats in Hillsborough County
last
year. And
for people listening who just might not quite recognize, that's trap and release.
Yeah,
right?
Trap, neuter, and return.
Sorry,
and
that's
return.
The end, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically it's well-meaning people, mostly women, but there are some men too, but mostly women that bring these cats in. They trap them. We have traps available, and you get them sterilized, and then you maintain them. You just put out a food dish for them, and that's better than taking them into a shelter and having them euthanized, because feral cats are wild animals, and you can't place them. So I see some hope with that, but still way too many cats die in our shelters.
All right, so that's kind of
the big
struggle.
Challenges.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And are there other kind of new wrinkles just in recent years? I mean, just even maybe on the technological level. I mean, do social network sites play any kind of significant role for Humane Society?
we were a little behind the eight ball, but I think we're getting better. We don't tweet yet, but we do have a Facebook page. And I'll tell you, we were running low on our free food assistance program. We were out of cat food. And we just put on our Facebook page, hey, we could really use some donations of cat food. I'm telling you, in 3 days, all the bins were filled again.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I can't say enough about the Facebook page that we have, and I think Kathy will talk a little more about that. It really helps with our events, too, to get people out to the events
and
support
aware.
It.
And that's
absolutely.
Where people are getting a lot of that
that's
kind of information
right.
these days.
So we're getting there. We have a ways to go, but we are getting there.
Sure. Cool. Well, this is Talking Animals. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Sherry Silk and about to speak more with Kathy Belton and both of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. If you'd like to join the conversation, as some of their animals that have also joined us have already done, you can call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So I guess one other thing that before we get into more of the fun stuff, Bark in the Park and some of these animals that are here with us, because you have been in this in this profession. And
you're saying
and
I'm old, is what you're saying.
No, right? I'm saying you're savvy and
okay.
wise. And
okay.
so, no, because no,
okay.
but because actually with the kind of perspective that you have, I'm really interested in something that's maybe not as rosy, but may tie into some of what we're talking about, is that it seems like running these kind of organizations is difficult. It's really difficult. Yes. And every so often, whether it's this area, some of which was before my time, and other areas, you know, things happen. There's controversies, there's crisis,
yes.
things
yes.
implode,
yes.
and even just in recent weeks, not the exact same thing, but I know that in Miami-Dade Animal Services, there's kind of a whole other thing
with
that's
Dr.
sort of exploding.
Pisano.
Yeah. Pisano, so, right. I mean, these things happen not infrequently. And again, it seems partly because there's just unique challenges to these things. You've got animal people who I can freely say everybody in this room, hopefully slightly eccentric, if not more.
I think that's a good way to describe us, yes.
And with also very strong opinions.
Yes. Yes.
But also often conflicting opinions.
That's
about,
right.
So,
well, look at our area. We have the three main shelters in Tampa Bay, the SPCA of Tampa Bay over in Largo and the Humane Society of Pinellas. They've been without an executive director for months now, almost a year. So it is hard. It's hard, and it's hard to keep plugging along when there's all this controversy. And I want to say, and this may be unpopular, but, we're a no-kill for space shelter, and we're fortunate because we work with animal services. There's a lot of shelters that are open admission that take a lot of animals in, and when you can't find homes for them, what are you supposed to do with them? So
right.
I hate it that euthanasia is a dirty, dirty word for a lot of animal rights people because, frankly, there are some animals that are not safe or may be too sick that you have to euthanize. And some of the directors have gotten a really bad rap for that. I mean, they should be creative and they should think of ways to adopt their animals, but believe me, if we didn't have Hillsborough County Animal Services that has to do a lot of euthanasia, we might be forced to do it. We're very fortunate that we work with them and we take animals from them, so we don't have to do the euthanasia. So there's a lot of controversy in that whole
sure.
that whole topic.
And it's a polarizing issue,
it is
issue,
a very,
right? I mean,
very...
consistently.
Yes,
yeah.
it is. Yes, it is. I was down in Miami-Dade a couple weeks ago and I met with Dr. Pisano. I know her very well.
Mm.
And she's done a lot of wonderful things in that horrible, horrible building. Not sure if you've ever been there.
No,
they take
I...
in more animals than we do here in the Hillsborough County, and she's put a lot of things in place to adopt animals. Her adoption numbers are really, really good, but yet she's got her own challenges. So
sure, yeah.
there's lots of problems in the animal world.
Well, so with those things, and like just the examples you cited, just sort of all with kind of loosely in our backyard here. I mean, what sort of things are you extra mindful of, or what sort of measures have you put in place to sort of help stave off some of those things that can undo an organization? And then, and when the controversy explodes, and usually the animals and others,
they
pay
suffer,
a price,
right? They
sure.
suffer.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things, and I'm really proud to say at Humane Society of Tampa Bay, is that we're very transparent. If you go on our website, we post, it's called the Asilomar, where we report all of our numbers, how many intake, how many adopted, how many returned animal, and how many are euthanized by either owner request or because they were too sick or had temperament issues. I think if you put it out there, what you're doing, and the people can see that, I think that's a start. I think if you hide your numbers and don't want to talk about it, that's a problem. So that's one of the main things, is
sure.
that we're very, very transparent. If I can toot our own horn for a minute.
Please, you're here for that purpose.
We have, for the last 2 years, we've received what's called a 4-star Charity Navigator rating.
Oh, wow.
And they rate nonprofits across the country. 4 stars is the best you can get, and we've got it the last 2 years. We work hard to keep that, but I'm really proud of that. So I think if people really look at our organization and get on our website and see what we've done, we're not perfect, believe me, and we make mistakes, but we own up to the mistakes we make, and we're transparent on what we're doing.
And just maybe take one sec, if you don't mind, Sherry, and just sort of running through the criteria to get that kind of rating, because
it's
really
how much money goes to your programs versus your fundraising or your administrative costs.
Right.
And for us, it's 86 cents of every dollar you're going to give us is going to go directly into programs. Our administrative costs, I mean, we could use more people, but we are being very frugal on who we're hiring. We don't have top-end people. My office and Kathy's office, we have a double wide trailer. That's where we're staying in. I'm not proud of that fact, but that is what it is. It's how much money you spend on the animals directly versus how much money you're spending on other stuff. And we've done a really good job of keeping our programs very high.
That's great. Okay, so again, this is Talking Animals. Our guest from the Humane Society of Tampa Bay are Sherry Silk, who we've been hearing from. We're going to hear more momentarily from Kathy Bellaton, who is the Director of Special Events. And again, if you have questions or comments, you can call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. And in fact, we do have an email or two here. Let's get into one of those. It says, we have 20 adopted cats, male and female, all spayed and neutered at our expense. I will need to find homes for them in the near future. How can I screen potential adopters to put our minds at ease that we are giving them to good homes? Thanks for any advice. The pound is parenthetically, the pound is not an option for us. They are all beautiful, loving critters. That's from somebody in Lakeland.
I would say certainly congratulations on doing the right thing by sterilizing your 20 cats. You know, it's going to be hard if they're older cats, because a lot of people, I know we have trouble adopting out older cats, but you want to just want to ask the people, where are the cats going to live? Do they have enough funding to take them to a vet when they need it? Where are they going to sleep at night? Just basic questions like that. I will tell you, cats are a challenge. I mean, and I would be lying to you to say it's going to be easy. Because if they're, you know, if they're over two or three, it's very difficult for the public to want to take the cats in. Craigslist, yeah, they want kittens. They want kittens. But the fact that they're already sterilized, that's going to save people money, so that's a plus. I would warn you, Craigslist can be a very good thing. You can find some really good homes, but you can also find some nut jobs that you don't want to. So you really need, you know, to have a half an hour conversation with these folks. See if they have pictures of their prior animals. I always think that's good if somebody comes in and pulls out their wallet and shows me their picture of their dog or cat. Yeah. That's obviously a good sign. And go by your gut. I can't say enough about that. Your gut's usually going to tell you if it's going to be a good owner or not.
Great. Okay. Well, hopefully that's helpful to Grant there in Lakeland. Okay. Now, let's talk about Bark in the Park.
All right.
Kathy Gabelton, Director of Special Events. That's got to be your bailiwick, your baby, right?
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait. Saturday, it's going to be a great event. We've got rescuing coming in from New York. They are the Army for the Animals.
Are you a little distance back from the mic or something? Not quite as – I've got you. I know you've got a puppy in your hands. There you go. Oh, there
is that
go.
Better?
Now, that's much better. That's much better. Okay. And you.
But Saturday, March 5th is Saturday.
I know what the problem is.
Sorry. Hold on, Kathy. Kathy has got a puppy wrapped in her arm, so I think it got kind of messed up. So we're gonna turn her on in a minute.
All right. Am I on now?
Yeah. Now you're on, loud and clear.
Sorry.
It sounds good.
Right. Something was amiss.
Yeah. Now you sound good.
It was my fault. Okay. So now we can hear Kathy loud and clear.
Okay, so this Saturday, March 5th at Al Lopez Park, we have our annual fundraising walk. Actually, this is our 24th year, and it's from 8:30 a.m. to 12 noon. We've got special guests coming in from New York, rescuing the Army for the Animals, so that should be really exciting. People can come out, take their pictures taken with them, and we've got all sorts of fun activities at the event. Not only do we have a one-mile walk, but we also have pet costume contests, doggy arts and crafts, demonstrations, vendors, sponsors. It's fun for the entire family. Bring your kids, your animals, your grandparents. It's
bring everybody.
Everybody.
And Rescue Inc.'s going to actually judge the contest. That's going to be kind of a hoot, I think.
They're judging the costume contest.
Yeah,
well,
that
there
should
you
be
go.
Funny.
That seems like they've got complete expertise
yes,
in that
they
realm.
Do.
So, so what are some, because there's a lot of things kind of in a relatively short period of time, 8:30 to noon. It seems like there's a lot of components. I mean, what are some other things that people should be aware of that, let's say if they're not going to do the walk for whatever.
Well, if they're not going to do the walk, we still invite them to come over. This is a fundraiser, so we're hoping to get lots of donations to continue the great programs that we have at the Humane Society, and this is one of the ones that will help us continue all the wonderful things that we do at our shelter. But if you don't want to walk, you can enter the pet costume contest. We've got Hogs and Dogs, which is the biker owner...
Look-alike contest. Yeah.
Look-alike contest.
Okay,
and then we've also got the best overall costume and most talented pooch. So if you've got a talented pooch out there, bring in the Bark in the Park, and Rescue Inc. is going to determine how talented your pooch is.
Wow.
So
okay.
Bring them out. Also, if you want to try the agility course, that's open to everyone who wants to try it. Test your dog out there.
Cool.
Doggy arts and crafts. We've got doggy massages.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we can pamper your pet. Canine Powerball Plunge. If your dog wants to jump in one of our kiddie pools, take a tennis ball out, and depending on the number that they have, you're going to get some raffle tickets for a great island giveaway.
Wow.
And that's at the Trade Winds Resort, and you can bring your dog to that as well.
Nice. So. To the resort?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, great.
Trade Winds is open. They've got a whole animal pet-friendly area. You can get room service for your dog. It's a wonderful place.
That's great. And so you mentioned, Kathy, this is the 24th year. So I mean, at least to the extent you know, how has the event changed over nearly a quarter of a century? I'm sure what's happening Saturday doesn't much resemble what happened in the first few.
Oh, no, it definitely doesn't. It's actually grown. The event has grown. We have over 1,000 people that attend the event.
Wow.
It's gotten bigger, and it's just we've added more events within the event. Mm-hmm. So it's it brings people out with, if they don't want to do the walk, like you said, they can do contests. There's other activities that they can take part of.
And they can bring their own dogs
to
hang out?
Yeah, yes, as long as they're on a leash and they've had their shots, they're welcome to bring all of their animals. It's the entire family.
Yeah,
and your four-legged friends are part of the family, so
absolutely.
Bring them out.
Can you talk about the adoptables, too, that are going to be
there? Oh, yes.
Yeah,
we're going to have tons of adoptables there. Yeah. Our mobile adoption center is coming with cats and dogs. Poor little cats, but they'll be fine. But, we'll have our adoptables there. So if anyone's looking for a new best friend, come out to Bark in the Park, and we'll do the adoptions on site.
And as far as this kind of almost hooks in maybe in a way to our emailer, but if someone came out to Bark in the Park and said, oh, my gosh, Jasmine, I've fallen in love with you. What would be the process? Like, would they walk away with Jasmine that day or fill out paperwork and sort of be scrutinized in the way that you suggested, Sherry, for the gentleman that had the 20 cats? Or how does it work?
We actually will be on site and able to adopt out the animals right there. You'll fill out an application, and then you'll meet with one of our adoption counselors. And if everything goes well, then you will be going home with your new best friend.
Cool. Cool, cool. Well, I think that what better time now to meet some of our best friends that have joined us in the studio. Okay, so I don't know where Jasmine went to, but Jasmine, we've already met by affecting the email here in the studio, starting a record at one point. So, anyways, but let's describe Jasmine. She, he, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, no,
Jasmine,
girl.
Jasmine,
girl.
Right. Sorry, I'm getting all confused.
She's a Siamese.
Siamese and very cute Siamese.
Very cute, and as we know, Siamese are very chatty cats and very active. So I like cats like this. If you don't want a cat always in your face and on your lap when you're trying to read the paper, then Jasmine wouldn't be for you. But Siamese are very, very intelligent cats, and she's absolutely gorgeous. Cream color with the chocolate points on the face and the ears and the legs, and she's just beautiful.
She is really beautiful.
Yeah,
and I think there's some people who don't necessarily think of Siamese cats as beautiful.
Oh, I do.
And I think they're completely wrong, of course.
Of course.
But even, I think, Jasmine, I think, is even at the cuter range of cuteness.
Light blue eyes. Very,
very
nice.
Yeah. All right, now, let's meet our puppy friends. We have,
This is Tiffany.
What do we have there? It's a black, beautiful.
She's all black, and she's got a white blaze on her chest. She's 8 weeks of age. She was actually transferred in from Animal Services. They had a bunch of puppies, and we took her and her litter mates. And I guess she'll probably be, this is my best guess because we don't know what she's mixed with, but probably anywhere from 50 to 60 pounds. So she's going to be a pretty good size, not huge, but good size.
Do we have any
sense
of what kind of ingredients we have there?
I don't know. I mean, she's all black, but the white blaze, so she's not a purebred. Maybe some spaniel. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, you can get a DNA test. Do you know that? For $60, you can do a DNA test for your dog. I don't know how accurate they are, but people are really into that now.
Wow.
And you can run the test and you'll know exactly what
she
is.
All I know is that Tiffany is
cute.
Ultra cute. 8 weeks old.
Cute,
so presumably Tiffany, unless she snapped up in the meantime, maybe someone listening now, will be at Bark in the Park.
Park. Absolutely.
Cool. Okay.
Yes.
And then who do we have there, Kathy, with you?
We have Thelma, and she was actually transferred in from Alabama, which is one of the programs that we run at the Humane Society to try to save animals from other shelters being euthanized. And she is 8 weeks old. She is adorable Australian Shepherd mix. I'm not sure what she's mixed with, but she's tan with a little bit of white, and she is absolutely just a little cuddle bug. So.
She really is. She's a little sheepish about things. It's like, okay, enough with the radio show. Let's get back to where things are a little more comfy and playful. But she is really cute, really adorable. And so, again, Thelma, if not adopted in the meantime, we'll be at Bark in
the Park. We'll be at Bark
in the Park. Cool. So, and what is it, you know, the cost, the fees, whatever, for adopting either, let's say, you know, one of these beautiful pups that are with us, or
for puppies and small dogs are $125, and that might sound like a lot, but really it's a bargain, because what you get, of course, is a wonderful animal, but it'll already be spayed or neutered, it'll have a microchip, it'll have all the initial shots, the puppy shots that it's going to need, so you know it's going to be ready to go. So spayed or neutered, microchip shots, a bath, nails trimmed, it's quite a bargain. The adult dogs that are larger are $75, and for the kitties, we have a special on for St. Patrick's Day and getting some luck during the luck of March. We've knocked down our adoption fee for cats from 50 to 20. So any cat or kitten is $20. I mean, that's a loser for us, but we're just hoping that we're going to place a lot of cats during March. Absolutely.
And to what extent are these, maybe these gals and others pictured on the website? I mean, is everybody up
there pretty
much?
Up
yeah.
On the
okay.
Website.
So again, humanesocietytampa.org is the place to go for that, and then there's all kinds of other cool banners and other things to click on to information specifically about Bark in the Park and other events and any other. I mean, I know Bark in the Park's the biggie and coming up the most imminently, but anything else that Kathy would like to mention that's coming up in the coming period?
The best thing to do is to log to our website. We do over 40 events a year, so we're pretty busy. We're trying to stay out in the community, not only raise awareness of all the great programs that we have at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, but also the funds that we need to continue the programs.
Sure.
We've got Tuxes and Tails, which is our high-end gala on May 14th at the Convention Center. And then we also have our smaller events coming up. So the best thing to do is definitely log on to the website.
Cool. And one of our other emailers, by the way, says the Skippers will once again be hosting our annual benefit concert for the Humane Society featuring the Quivering Rhythm Hounds on Sunday, May 29th. I believe that's the Scratch My Back.
That's a fun event.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's
so
a great event.
That's a key one. And again, all that information and others would be found at humanesocietytampa.org. So it's Sherry Silk, Kathy Belton, and our Jasmine, Tiffany, and Thelma friends. Thank you so much for joining us today at Talking Animals. And, of course, we'll be out there at Bark in the Park on Saturday as well. Looking forward to it. And good luck with that and everything else that you're doing.
Great. We'll see you Saturday. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals, and it's time to play Name That Animal Tune. And there'll be a prize, pair of tickets to the greatest acoustic blues show on earth this Saturday at the Palladium Theater. To the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. Not going to be very hard.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose. What's new, pussycat? Whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. When
you
pussycat eyes.
All right. Sherry and Kathy are gone. That means Jasmine, Tiffany, and Thelma are gone. But, again, you could take home one of those beautiful puppies or Jasmine, the very active cat. Okay, so we have all kinds of people calling in to name that animal tune. We'll take them in the order they came. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
What's new, pussycat?
That's right, and I'm sure you probably know the artist, right?
Yeah, Tom Jones.
Okay, cool. What is your first name, sir?
Darris.
Darris?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to put you back on hold, and we'll get your information, and we will...
I also wanted to tell you one thing about the Dunedin Doggy Rescue having an event on Saturday.
Right. I already plugged that. Thank you so much, though.
Oh, cool, man. I'll be there helping.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, great. And so we'll get your information and get you all set up to go see the greatest acoustic blues show on earth this Saturday at the Palladium. Thanks again. All right. Just ahead, we are going to have a Well, you know what? Yeah, we might just have to skip right to that. So we're going to momentarily have a brief chat with Suzanne Liggett, who will be providing free yoga classes for kids at the Talking Animals Festival. And I think she might let adults sneak in, too, if they're with those kids. So anyway, let's take a moment and hear this. And we're going to skip our next animal song so we have time to do speak with Suzanne and everything else. All right, so it's Talking Animals, WMNF. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Suzanne. Things have been a little nutty. There's been a lot of animals in the studio, and things have been a little thrown off whack. But it's all good. So we are going to speak now with Suzanne Liggett from Heart and Souls Yoga and Education Services. I mentioned she'll be providing free yoga classes for kids and whatever adults are with them, perhaps, at the Talking Animals Festival. So let's say hello to Suzanne. Are you there, Suzanne?
I'm here. Good morning, Duncan. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. So let's jump right in. Let's find out a little bit first about your background, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I have a master's degree in education, and I've been teaching all over the country in K through 5 classrooms as a school teacher. And I also worked for a leading textbook company as a consultant. And so I got to travel around the country training teachers on our literacy and math curriculum through elementary and middle school. So I know all about kids. I've always loved working with kids. And this is just one of the best things that I've been able to do is bring the yoga into teaching. So that's a little bit about me.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about the kind of classes people would expect. In this case, on April 3rd at the Talking Animals Festival at Lowry Park, you're going to do four. So if someone came and said, okay, here's what you would expect your kid to see or learn or do, what exactly does that involve?
Well, that's a great question. And I always say that yoga is always more fun when you do it together. So the classes are for entire families to come, although if kids just want to join in and mom and dad want to watch from the side, that's perfectly okay too. We'll have some mats set up under a tent, and what we'll be doing is practicing some games, yoga games like yoga pose, which is a version of Duck Duck Goose with some yoga poses. We'll learn some yoga poses that are familiar to the moms and dads out there who take classes, although we'll probably call them by different animal names. And we'll make up our own names to them as well.
Like what kind of, give us an example of an animal name that you might throw in for this.
Okay, well, everybody probably is familiar with the downward dog yoga pose.
Okay.
Well, what we do with that in kids yoga is we take our dogs for a walk. So there's lots of partner poses, and we can do pyramids with that, or you can one of the kids can be the dog walker, and the other kid can be the dog in the pose. And then downward dog turns very quickly into bear pose when we walk like a bear. in the Downward Dog pose.
Wow, that's cool. Now, in your experience of doing this, when kids come to something like this, have they done some yoga, or this would typically be their very first exposure to it?
We welcome anyone, and it's a perfect introductory class for kids who haven't been exposed to yoga, but it's also a great class for kids who have experience with their moms and dads in class or at home with the DVDs or on TV. Really, it's just a really great way to join together, stretch, breathe, relax, and giggle. It's a really wonderful time for any level of yoga student.
And you, I assume probably, is there a particularly good age or at least sort of minimal ideal age that you found that sort of is best to for people to not go younger than, let's say, for these classes?
Yeah, I would say ages 4 and up would probably be best for the festival.
Okay.
And, I also, we're doing at the Lotus Room downtown, we have just started our new kids program there. So if moms and dads out there have younger kids that they want to also let them try out yoga, we have yoga options for the little ones as well.
That's great. And so I assume in something like at the festival, which, by the way, I want to acknowledge that we directly ripped off from Veg Fest, which is where I first met you and saw the classes.
So that was a fun time.
Yeah, but we want to give credit where credit is due. But so in those kinds of situations, Veg Fest or coming up at the Talking Animals Festival, I mean, when you found that, have you found that in teaching these kids that then they're hooked generally, or some kind of mixed about it, or what generally seems to happen in a, let's say I'm a class of 10 or 15, how many do you think are going to say, hey, you know what, I want to do that more?
Well, they all want to usually stay for the next class that I hold in a
okay.
few minutes.
Yeah.
It's just they really have fun with it, and they're able to explore their creative side and use their imagination, which in the typical classroom at school, it's they don't get to do that quite as much because there's so many subjects to get in and
sure.
you know, studying for all of the tests that they have to take. So they really are hooked from the moment they step on their mat. See my big smile, and they start to smile at each other, and we get into circles, and we play games and do poses and have so much fun that it's usually probably the first second they're in.
That's great. Yeah. All
yeah.
right. Cool. Well, Suzanne, so maybe you could just tell us, just for people who might be planning ahead a little bit, in terms of when they might attend the Talking Animals Festival, if they're interested in this, when are the classes? I think you're offering 4 classes that day, and when, at least at the moment, when are those likely to be offered?
Well, I believe that we're going to be having one at 11 a.m. and then one at 1 a.m.
1 p.m.
Yeah. And there's one more in there, Duncan. I don't know if you can help me remember. There's a fourth one that we're going to do.
Right. I think the first one may start a bit earlier, and then I think they're spread out from there. But we'll have that posted on talkinganimals.net on the festival page. Make sure everybody can kind of plan accordingly if they want to be sure to get involved with these. So, Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. And
my pleasure, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the Talking Animals Festival and teaching these kids yoga classes. And, again, as we've mentioned a couple times, again, parents can kind of sneak in, can audit these classes, I guess, as it were. So fun for everybody. Cool. All right, Suzanne.
Great.
Thanks again. We'll see you then.
See you then.
All right. Great.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Again, we now air every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to noon. So we'll be back next Wednesday, March 9th, when our guest will be Captain Paul Watson, founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society and the sort of reluctant star of the TV series Whale Wars. Captain Watson and his colleagues just made international news by halting the Japanese whale hunt mid-season in the Southern Ocean. So we'll discuss this historic event and other topics with Captain Watson next Wednesday, March 9th, 11 a.m. here on Talking Animals. I hope you'll join me then. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Keep an eye out for updates and announcements about the Talking Animals Festival. Again, we offer you posters. If you'd like to take some posters, put them up in your neighborhood, your dog park, your restaurant, your favorite place to go, animal-friendly joint. Just give us a call, 813-239-9663, or email talkinganimals@wmnf.org, and we'll send you off one or more, whatever you'd like. And again, you can go to the Talking Animals Festival page and download a 8.5 by 11 color version of it as well. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. She's in the studio again, folks. I mean, how hard is this woman working? Yikes. So, anyways, thanks again for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music, airing every Wednesday from noon to 3. His guest today will be David Lowry of Camper Van Beethoven and Cracker fame. And he'll be performing at Tropical Heatwave May 14th, but chatting and playing music with Scott today. So be sure to stay tuned for that. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune, at least by our loose definition. This is brand new music from Radiohead with Morning Mr. Magpie, taking us up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great show, joined by David Lowry, right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. Take care. We'll see you next Wednesday, 11 a.m., for Talking Animals. Okay, brand new music from Radiohead. There's an animal tune or two rolled into that. Anyways, it's WMNF Tampa. Scott Elliott is coming up presently with his special guest David Lowry, who will be, of course, at Tropical Heat Wave May 14th, but chatting and playing some songs with Scott more immediately than that. So stay tuned to 88.5 FM, WMNF, and we'll catch up with you next Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Talking Animals. NPR News coming up in just a few seconds here. All right. Have a great rest of the day. Take care.